going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office, and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
You're listening to Shazoo's Mad Science. We got a full house and a full plate and a whole lot to talk about. Hope we can squeeze it in. I can remember everything we were going to talk about, but we got a lot of folks up in here today. So who all we got in here, Cultist?
We have our good friend Rem, Dublin, Mitko, Tom, and Thomas, and myself.
Cool.
And yourself.
Well, welcome everybody.
We're all here.
Well, one of the first things I wanted to talk about, put some links up in the chat rooms up there. One of them is going back to the BP oil spill, which I can't even remember how many years ago that was. It was quite a while. And they had a plan to use that Corexit stuff to basically eat up the oil, which essentially it really made a mess out there. And then on top of that, you got the whole thing going on with the Fukushima radiation going into the water. Now, I'm not totally sold on the Fukushima doing the major amount of damage, but I got my beliefs on the Corexit portion of the deal, because what they said this stuff was supposed to do was to eat up the oil. Now, back when that oil spill first occurred, I sent a letter to Obama and told him, look, I got an idea how we can contain this oil and, you know, basically salvage the oil and basically clean up the mess without, you know, any kind of harm to the environment and such. And it wasn't just me that sent in ideas like that. There was other guys out there who had tons of ideas on how to do this. But the only reason why I'm bringing this up is because there's been a whole lot of different die-offs of a lot of different plants and jellyfish, not jellyfish, but starfish becoming pretty much gelatinous, and they're trying to figure out what's going on, thinking they got some sort of disease. Well, it could very well possibly be a disease. It could be possible that Corexit is, pretty much making a mess of everything. Now, this is a really serious concern because, you break down the food chain in the ocean and we're all screwed, you know. And I don't want to turn this into some sort of fear-mongering thing, but there's a case, there's a time whenever everybody's going to have to get out there in their backyard and start cleaning house because, we're polluting our fishbowl in a bad way. Now, like I said, I'm not necessarily 100% sold on the dangers of radiation in the Fukushima deal there, because I've got my own beliefs on that particular deal. However, I still think that corrects it, because if it's what they're talking about and how it actually functions, it's pretty much a living deal. It's kind of like whenever you put that Ridex down in your septic system, you know, it puts these bacterias down in there that breaks down all the biological waste and all that kind of stuff. Well, you know, what if they put this stuff down there and it's actually eating up the plankton as well as everything else? Because we all know that in the fatty tissues of pretty much all living creatures, there's oil in there. And so,
including us.
Yeah, and so I kind of wanted to get you guys' thoughts on the matter. You know, like I said, I don't want to turn this into a fear-mongering deal, but it is something that's worth putting a serious eye to, because, you know, if you got all these die-offs of fish, which I know that throughout history there have been certain incidents where, you know, there are die-offs, and it's a natural occurrence. But, you know, we're starting to see this at a more frequent rate than ever before. I don't believe it has anything to do with global warming or water temperatures out there. You know, I understand that there's a lot of volcanic activity going on. There's a lot of seismic activity going on. And, you know, when a volcano underwater erupts, you know, it puts out a lot of crud that fish aren't accustomed to that, would essentially cause something like that as well. But whatever the case ends up being, it needs to be addressed one way or another, whether it be to get out there and start saving some species and trying to repopulate the ocean or whatever. And, you know, hopefully it's not beyond the point of no return, but can you guys understand what I'm talking about here as far as the seriousness of it? Does anybody disagree with me?
We got to live in this world, and like, I'm not comfortable with radioactive material just flowing freely into the oceans over there, because, like, I personally think that all those water bodies are connected all through under the ground and all that, so, you know, it's a big deal.
Well, I believe there is some seriousness to that situation as well, but I don't think that necessarily is as serious as the Corexit deal that they put in there. I mean, they put thousands of gallons of that stuff in there to clean up that oil spill. And a lot of the divers going down there, and instead of finding, the oil gone completely, they're finding big beads of oil that are basically just sunk to the bottom of the ocean, you know. That's got to be doing something that's not natural to the bottom of the ocean. What do you guys think?
Yeah, sorry about that, Shaz. I wasn't completely paying attention to what you were talking about there. I'm just looking some stuff up, so yeah, I apologize for that comment.
I would say one thing for certain that needs to be understood is that oil, before we started drilling for it to pump it out of the ground and started using it, it seeped out of the ground all the time.
Yeah, I understand
that. We had deposits all the time. The reason we don't see that now is because we're draining the oil so fast it doesn't have a chance to work its way to the surface.
Well, which I also believe
it begins to slowly reintroduce itself into the environment. So now we're basically pumping it into the environment at a higher rate.
Yeah.
And I mean that might be partially at fault too, more so than the substance you're talking about, just by, you know, reintroducing that at such a high rate that all the organisms are having to basically adapt to that. And there are things growing in larger quantities than there should be, killing these other organisms off.
Well, that's highly possible too, you know, and I firmly believe that by draining all these wells out and water tables and such like that, you know, and doing fracking and fractal drilling and that kind of stuff is what's basically showing up a lot of these sinkholes that are out there. You know, anytime you undermine, you need some sort of hydraulic pressure under the ground. No,
that's just it. The oil is much thicker than water. So you pull water or oil out of the ground and then put water in the ground's going to settle. I don't care how hard you try to shove that water in there.
Well, I'm not talking about putting stuff
in. And it's a larger molecule than the water is, so the water will escape through crevices and whatnot in the ground rock that the oil couldn't escape through.
Well, I'm not talking about
it's going to collapse no matter what.
Yeah, I'm not talking about putting stuff back because they're not. You know, when they drill that stuff dry, they don't put nothing back. I mean,
they pump water in there. That's how they get the last of it out. Is they push water down in and push the oil up out of it.
Well, I didn't know that, but either way, you know, like you said, oil being a thicker molecule is going to make the difference. I mean, you need some sort of hydraulic pressure underneath your house, otherwise your ground will dry out and your foundation will start to crack, you know. So water is a good thing to some extent under your house, believe it or not.
Well, here's the problem with that, though, too, though, is that we're still pulling all this oil up out of the ground that is... I don't know if any listening here is aware of it, but oil absorbs contaminants. It absorbs things like arsenic and mercury the way water absorbs salt. You throw some salt water, what happens to it? It dissolves and suspends in between the water molecules, and the same thing happens with the oil. And they're bringing all that up, and they don't, you know, they have no use for that excess stuff, so they just dump it into our groundwater.
So I'm guessing what you're saying then is that... essentially, doggone, I had a train of thought and it just blew right out of my doggone head. is that what's going on out there isn't necessarily the corexit, but the fact that you're changing the chemistry in the waters at such a rapid rate, these animals don't have a chance to adapt to the changes there. Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm saying that's a possibility. I mean, either one is, you know, really likely. I don't know enough about what you're talking about. But if it breaks down oil to try to clean the oil up, then obviously, yes, it'll break down all the other oils, too. I mean, that's like basically dumping lye into something as a soap product and not expecting it to break down other things besides the dirt that you're trying to break up.
Well, I'm thinking of these starfish, which we all know basically set on the bottom of the ocean down there. And if you got this stuff, corrects it, that's actually breaking down the oil... It then, you know, it's got to be affecting that starfish as well, because every living creature out there has got oil in it. You know, we're all carbon based.
Oh, I'm sure it affects more than the oil that's in the body of them too, because they have tons of calcium that they use to hold themselves together, and that's probably knocking that stuff out of their system.
Well, just think about this: if this is an actual living deal that's going on, you know, when they put that in there, like the what I used Ridex for example, because what that is a bunch of bacteria essentially that they put down in septic systems to dissolve the you know, waste that basically eats up to, you know, the biological waste of the deal, and so your septic system will stay running a lot longer. If it's pretty much the same deal and you're dissolving the oil, you're also damaging the wildlife down there, and it can grow, you know, it can expand, you know, basically.
Right, so this stuff basically is self-propagating, correct?
Yeah.
You put some in, and it basically grows off of the crude oil and becomes even more.
Yeah, and so
we have the mongoose and the cobra problem, where you have a couple cobras, so you bring in a couple mongooses, and they kill off the cobras, but you have no natural predators for the mongooses. Now the area is being overrun by the mongooses.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what I'm trying to say there, you know. And you know, if they're finding dead zones in the water, there's a reason why there's dead zones in that water. You broke down the food chain, and the larger fish went further out to, you know, find the food that they're normally accustomed to, and so did the smaller fish. And
right. Well, that's just it, though. They can't go further out in some instances. They can't exist in certain zones. That's why you find more fish along coastline than you do out in the deep waters.
Well,
so if you contaminate all that area around the coastline where those fish can grow, you don't get them moving somewhere else where you have to go and hunt to get them. You just don't have fish, period. You're out.
You know, that's a disturbing thought, man. I mean, even on land, when you talk about, I know it's a conspiratorial, but if they are spraying chemicals in the air, it can't be doing any good. We all already know it's a fact that pesticides cause a lot of problems as far as the insects, and some of them are becoming pesticide resistant and that kind of stuff, but you know, it starts down with the bugs. You kill off the bees and the bugs, then the birds don't have nothing to eat unless they're eating berries. And you need those bees to be out there.
Yeah, you don't have all those plants either, though, that those bugs were pollinating.
Yeah.
So that means, you know, you kill off everything that's basically pollinating cross-pollinating, say, your orange orchards, then you get no oranges.
I'm 100% positive that, you know, if we wiped out everything that we have, you know, we essentially kill ourselves off. Nature will clean it all back up eventually, you know, but we don't have till eventually for nature to clean it up. We got to get some intelligent individuals out there cleaning the backyard, so to speak, because, you know, this is just getting beyond normal. This is getting beyond natural.
It's getting beyond repair is the scary part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there are plenty of reports where people say that, you know, for years they've sailed back and forth, like, you know, from down in Australia all the way up to Japan and over to the U.S. And normally they'd fish along the way and be able to eat just off of the ocean. And they're finding now, over the last couple of years, that it's just like sailing over the Dead Sea. There's nothing.
Mm.
You know, or the way people picture the Dead Sea, there's just literally nothing. It's like a giant parking lot.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, partially because we have giant Chinese vessels out there just sweeping the area, collecting every bit of food they can to sell off to markets that usually it ends up basically, you know, going to waste, 90% of it.
Man. Well, everybody better get used to eating rice cakes, and that's if we can actually get rice to grow anymore. Everybody keeps on polluting up their local environments and stuff, you know. And people need to pay attention to what they pour down the drain.
Well, rice is very water table dependent, isn't it?
Yeah.
In those fields that they grow it in. So, you know, it requires it to be at a certain depth where, you know, water is...
It's also not like very good for diabetics.
And all the rest of it. So, you know, when you start polluting the water table, you're
polluting your rice.
Yeah,
if it can grow at all. If it grows, you get poisoned by it.
Yeah.
So, but like I said, you're getting poisoned by it anyway if you're a diabetic and that's all you've got to eat, because that's basically just a big old lump of starch which turns straight into sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the other day I watched a documentary on how they prepare bottled water. You know, it'll start off from a natural spring and then they go through a whole lot of processes, including reverse osmosis, where it basically takes out everything down to the microns and stuff like that, you know, and then they turn around, and because they've cleaned it up so much, then they got to turn around
put stuff back into it.
Yeah.
It's like how golden staff exists in a hospital.
Well,
because you've got no natural predator to keep certain bugs at bay, which would normally get wiped out. It's so clean that the only thing that can thrive are these super bugs, you know?
Well, and there's
a scary thought.
Therein lies another thing when you're talking about the way they sanitize the hospitals. You know, everybody uses antibacterial soap these days, and there are some bacteria that your body needs. And,
exactly.
you know, you start killing off even the good bacteria along, because those bills, they claim that they'll kill 99% of the bacteria. Well,
I think I've said this before. You are only 10% you. The rest of you is made up by organisms and bacteria and random bits and pieces. You're not wholly you. You are 10% of your physical form is Shaziz, is me, is Tom. You know? The rest of you is made up by little organisms.
I hope I'm using the right. I hope I'm using the right terminology, but we do have I think the word I'm looking for is a symbiotic relationship with nature. You know, and if we don't work side by side with nature, nature's going to kick our butt. It's going to shake us off like a bad set of fleas. Am I wrong?
Mm-hmm. No, you're dead right, mate. That's exactly how it's going to happen. Well, you know, old Mother Nature, she tends to be self-repairing, so, you know, we upset her too much, she's just going to put the old smackdown on our backsides, and that'll be the end of us.
So what can the average Joe do about this? Because this is such a huge deal. My only thing that I can think the average Joe can do about it, you know, hey, go down, walk down your local beach. If you see some garbage down there, pick it up, man. Get it away from the doggone ocean, because you know the waves come in and out, it'll get swept back out and fish tangled in it and all that kind of stuff. You know, even on a little scale, do something. Something is better than nothing, because literally I feel like our lives are in the balance, you know. And if it isn't our life in general, because, you know, we're getting up there in our age, all of us are, you know. You know, if you're over 20 years old, you've lived quite a bit of life, but, you know, our grandchildren and on so on down the line, they're going to be screwed. If we don't do something now, they're literally going to be screwed. We got to seriously, you know, get with our local communities and build groups to go around and assess problems. And I don't want to talk about going around trying to regulate everybody's freedom away and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about using some common sense stuff, you know. Go around and check your local creeks and waterways and see what kind of crap is down in there. You know, I go all over here in the United States and I look at the creeks, and some of the things that people dump down in the waterways is just crazy. You know, like old refrigerators. Eventually, that compressor on that refrigerator is going to rot, and when it does, it's going to seep out those chemicals that's inside the oils inside the refrigerator. And it's going to end up in the water. Well, you know, eventually nature can clean it up, but it's a timing issue, you know. How fast can nature clean up after a bunch of jerks who keep throwing transmission fluid and oil and antifreeze down in the doggone waterway? And what kind of irreversible damage is this doing for the short term? That eventually this is going to end up down in your water table and in your kid's mouth whenever he takes a drink of water out of the spigot. You see what I'm saying?
No, exactly. Yeah, I mean it's sort of the same theory that goes behind what the peak oil crisis really is. It's not a fact of, you know, not having enough oil. It's a fact of that we can't keep up production to supply the oil. The same with old Mother Earth. You know, you can only put so much crap down in her soil before it becomes so overpolluted that she just can't clean that up no more.
Yeah, I understand. You know? Because I've seen sections where you can't even grow a garden, you know. It's just so the dirt is just so acidic.
We got these dandelions outside at the moment. They're freaking mutating, dude. Like the stem, you know, your little dandelion, they dry out, you pick them up and you blow the end off and the little spores all fly out everywhere.
Yeah.
There's these dandelions out in the backyard at the moment. They have like an inch thick stem. It looks like a shoot of rhubarb. And there's like 8 flowers growing on top of it.
Man.
Yeah.
So
this is in the same backyard where Shannon burnt snow during winter.
Listen, on the whole chemtrailing thing, if these guys are seriously doing this, which I believe they are, all right, you know, I'm just going to say that's what I believe, because I've watched this guy since I was a kid, you know. But if they're doing this, we the people need to find out who and why and how and put a stop to it, because, you know, it's going to come a point. It's going to be a point of no return. You start killing off things in your local environment, and guess what? You're screwed. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts, you know. This is a humanity kind of thing. If we're going to save ourselves from ourselves, And the only one that's going to be able to do that is us. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah, no, like we've said before, you know, don't sit there and wait for your brother next to you to get up and start getting organized. You are the one who has to get up. We have to get up as individuals and start making a change, you know? But that's all there is to it.
You
can't sit around and wait for it to happen.
Clean your backyard. I mean, that's your little section of the world. Clean it. You know, make sure there ain't nothing running off of your lawn down into the creek that's going to pollute that creek and kill off the fish down
there. That old saying, you know, that you clean up your own backyard before you look in your own neighbours.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, don't worry about trying to save the whole planet at once, because, look, let's be honest, that is a freaking daunting-looking task that no one man wants to take on by himself. But you can clean up your own backyard. There's no drama in that. That's not hard. That's not awkward. Just pull your finger out and go and do it.
And one of the things about cleaning your own backyard is whenever your neighbor looks over and sees how nice your backyard is and how trashy theirs is, chances are they're going to get out there and fix their backyard because
flower in the dump.
Yeah. Lead by example. That's the only thing. And when you're out on a vacation or something, instead of throwing your trash in the damn, you know, on the ground, go put it in a trash receptacle or do something.
Yeah, because, Michigan.
Yeah. Don't throw it out the window while you're driving down the road. And
like I've been saying, I've already said what can be done. Anybody who seriously wants to try to start, you know, moving in the direction that I mentioned, which is to basically stop using pumped out crude oil and start recycling this carbon we're pumping into the air.
Yeah,
back into oil, using the plants that we have available to us on site, so we don't have to take the danger and the chance of it being dumped in the ocean while we're, you know, shipping from place to place. That'll solve about 95% of it, because the process will allow us to reincorporate most of those waste products that we're talking about not throwing away back into into use.
Yeah, and that's another reason why people should support their local mad science guy, you know, because these guys have been talking about this for years. They've been talking about, you know, clean energy. We got to get green. I've been hearing that jaw-jacking for so long, it just makes me sick to my stomach because, you know, they talk out the side of their neck, but nobody ever gets up and does anything, you know, except for guys like us who are actually out here doing what it is we're doing as far as our research. We're trying.
With the incredibly limited support that we have from our own pockets, so it's taking a while.
Yeah. So
And then, of course, after we do all the work to get this all together, they're going to, once they see it works, then they'll jump on the bandwagon and just steal all the profit out of it for themselves and, you know, not even care that we were the ones that came up with it. They'll try to forget our name. Well, they don't even want to remember us, you know, let alone actually give us any, you know, any support to move forward on any other ideas we have.
That's exactly right. So it's going to have to be we the people that support one another, because, you know, if you let the corporations or the other guys get involved in the situation, you know, they're going to play it the way they want it to be played. And, you know, if I never got rich off of my designs, I wouldn't care. You know, just as long, because what I think I'm trying to do here is trying to, you know, maybe it's sounds stupid, but I'm trying to save the world, you know,
in my own little way. Mentioned in the chat there, profit is not bad. Profit upon somebody else's work for your own gain is what's bad. Something you did yourself, you did your work yourself, and you get something back for it, there's nothing wrong with that. It's when you start tricking people into or using extortion and force and violence to take profit from the work and the effort others do, that's when it's bad, because that's profit upon slaves. That's basically taking the wage earner that we have today in this, the corporatocracy. You know, the capitalism that we have, which isn't true capitalism, because we have a giant blood-sucking leech we call the federal government sucking the life out of everybody and, you know, doing absolutely nothing in return for it, except bullying us to get it from us.
While we're sitting here talking and actually trying to find solutions, I know it sounds crazy, guys. Unless you actually sit in front of my computer and sit here and watch this, I just had another intrusion attack on my computer. And so there are individuals out here, whether they're being just shenanigans and being stupid, or whether they just don't want us talking and communicating back and forth to each other and talking about what it is that we're talking about. We're literally trying to find solutions to problems out there in this world, and this is what we're up against. The constant attacks, the constant harassment, being called tin foil hat, wearing nutcases or whatever. They can't even get their medals right. It's aluminum foil, for Pete's sake.
You know, aluminium.
Aluminium. You know, get it right. If you're going to attack us, make yourself sound at least partially intelligent and get the metal right. But regardless of all that kind of stuff, when these guys are sitting out there and they're talking all the crap that they do continuously, we gotta charge you a carbon tax so we can save the planet. You know, how's charging me?
That's more government thuggery. That's exactly it. Because they hold a gun to your head and threaten to throw you in a room to be raped by other people if you don't give them what they want.
Yeah.
Anytime somebody has to force you to give them what they want, then obviously what they're trying to do with what you're being forced to give to them doesn't hold any validation. It's not a good idea. If it was a good idea, people will willingly work with you. You know, when you have a bad idea, that you have to whip a gun out to force people to get involved.
And I agree, but here's the thing,
I was going to say, if you tell people we're going to crash this plane into a building and you're all going to die, are they going to do it willingly?
No.
Of course not. You're going to have to hold a gun to their head or beat them into submission to get them to do it. On the other hand, if you tell them, hey, we're going to go ahead and, you know, go do something that's really fun and everybody's going to have a good meal and, you know, we're all going to be better off for it, then you don't have to hold a gun to people's heads to do that. They'll willingly go along to help you out with that.
Well, and here's,
because it's to their benefit.
And I agree with you. Here's another big point about the whole deal. That carbon tax isn't cleaning up the planet. That carbon tax isn't saving the planet, not in the least. All it's doing is making some fat cat rich, and that's all there is to it.
Right.
And if they was going to tell me, if they told every one of the citizens out there, look, we're going to charge a little extra tax, and this is what we want to do with the money. We want to literally get physical men and women out there cleaning up this stuff. And we're going to use this money to pay them a salary for their hard efforts in getting out there and cleaning. That would be a different story. But while they're over there talking...
This is the thing, is you wouldn't have to enforce that tax.
Well,
I can guarantee you that's a good enough cause that we would have people just putting their money into the till, you know, willingly.
Yeah.
So at that point, it doesn't even have to be a tax. It could be a collection, you know.
But, you know...
Not to get religious on people, but, you know, they pass the collection plate because people see the value in whatever it is they're doing, and in this there's a legitimate value that people will willingly do something with it. They'll either donate to it or they'll go out and help those people, like bringing them sandwiches and drinks and whatnot while they're working. You know, they'll do whatever they can to basically help this process happen, because it needs to happen for all of us. And it's not that hard. It's not rocket science to figure out that we're going to suffer individually for it if we don't do something about it.
Yeah, and it has to be done, like you said. But you know, the common sense.
You mentioned the carbon tax. Let me finish off with what I was saying before and tie it together to what you're talking about now. The carbon tax people, the people who make these ridiculous claims and stories to make money off of people's fears, are the same people that would use regulations and control to force us to not be able, as individuals, to grow and manufacture and make our own oil-based products from plants.
Well, yeah.
So that they can keep pumping it out of the ground and selling it to us at a high profit. That's an extortionary profit. It's a volatile and violent profit, which is, you know, is not really profit. That's theft at that point.
Here's two things here. One of it, which is that while they're out there talking about cleaning up the carbon, the same companies, corporations, and other jerks out there are using other stuff, trashing out the doggone environment as well. So you're going to solve one problem while allowing another problem. And we know this happens because people have buddies in every organization out there. And,
let me point something out that you just brought up there real quick, okay? You mentioned using the carbon tax to clean the carbon up, right?
Yep.
But what are they doing with the processes that they're cleaning the carbon up to clean up the mercury and the arsenic and, you know, all the other heavy metals and whatnot that are being dumped at the same time through the process that is creating all this excess carbon that they are claiming needs to be cleaned up?
Well,
nothing.
It's best said with what I put there in the chat room is the same thing. You could just supplement or change the name from corrects it an oil spill solution worse than the problem. So what they're doing, even with the carbon, is worse than the actual problem itself. And, you know, personally, I don't believe carbon is a problem, you know, because of the science to me just doesn't make any sense. But I'm not going to sit here and debate it with the global warming.
Well, self-correct. If you put excess carbon into the atmosphere, you're putting excess food for trees out there. So the trees the grass and whatever else that's growing out there that, you know, consumes carbon dioxide to make sugar out of it will consume it, and it'll populate and grow more plants, and it'll clean that same stuff right back up out of the environment. The only thing that could possibly stop that from happening is an excess of heavy toxic metals and other elements that actually hinder the growth of those plants. So they can't consume that food that's out there, and it just ends up lingering, because the food supply has been poisoned. And we don't have to make oil or oil products out of oil that's pulled out of the ground. We can literally take fast-growing plants that are, they're a detriment. If you don't cut them back, they will destroy your city or your town or the home that you live in.
Well,
so, you know, cutting them back and making oil products out of those with no heavy metals in it whatsoever isn't going to stop them from coming right back and consuming all that carbon you put into the air by using those oil products, and you get a completed cycle. Now it becomes a balance, you know, without the toxins, so the plants and the other organisms on the planet can, any excess that we put out can balance out to match it, you know.
Well, where's the balance for all the fluoride that they put in the water, you know? When you think about fluoride,
that's another heavy metal that comes from all this drilling we're pulling up out of the ground. It sunk down there for a reason. It's not meant to be churned up that fast, you know?
I don't know about down there in the States, but up here in Canada, like this is Kingston, Ontario here, like I've noticed over the past probably 6 months or so, like you go pour a glass of water, like you can almost not stand the smell of it coming out of the tap, and I'm not really sure what's going on there, but I know it's not healthy.
Like, what's the smell like?
A lot of chlorine, and there's other things in there that I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, you know, they tell you they do all that too for your protection, but the question is, why is the water so dirty that they have to put that much chlorine in it?
Well, that's why I was so sick back in Roxby Downs, because of the chlorine in the water. When I managed to get some pure H2O water with absolutely no additives in it, I felt great.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, that's
because...
You can't
tell me that...
Your body's three-quarters water. You're a walking chemistry set. And you throw that chemistry
exactly.
set out of balance, and then you get sick, you know? But these jerks out here, man, I'm telling you, they're supposed to be so highly educated. And the mainstream scientists, I don't care who likes me saying it or not, but these guys are freaking idiots, man. If you start off a process such as throwing corrects it in there, did they sit around long enough to look at the long-term effects of what that could possibly do to the wildlife under the water? I don't think so. And the people who's supposed to be like the Food and Drug Administration, who's supposed to be there, you know, to quote protect your population from, you know, they'll go right on in and raid somebody's alternative food or alternative medicine deal for making claims of curing athlete's foot or whatever. But they'll put crap on the market such as aspartame and saccharin, things that were shown to be proven to put cause cancer in lab rats and stuff like that, you know. But you know, it's the numbers, you know.
I was gonna say unhomogenized milk is so dangerous, you know.
And I think, like, when it comes to that Corexic stuff, when they're putting that down there, all they're really showing you is, oh, hey, look, it does attract the oil and it sinks it to the bottom. They don't really take and, you know, they're not telling you about all this other stuff that actually happens with it. And I think, like, that just comes down to the way that the news works, right? They only show you what they want you to show. Like, it's just
and
like,
actually, it's
and they're trying
that,
just to say, hey, we care about you, look,
that's just it, because it's a political thing. You have to look at the news source to figure out which side of the political game they're playing too.
Well,
because one side's on the Democrat side, the other side's on the Republican side.
The average
but
Joe,
none of them are on your side, none of them. are on your side.
The average Joe in the mainstream media should be flat out ashamed of themselves. Are they either that or they're just damn stupid. Because if these guys would actually do some investigating reporting like they used to do back in the old days of news media, you know, they seen something going on, they would report on it. Well,
if you're obligated to do it, they have to.
Yeah. Well, if you're an average Joe and you got a job sitting in front of a camera and telling out the news and something doesn't ring a bell true with you and you don't speak out even at the cost of losing your job, you should be flat out ashamed of yourself, because it's not just going to affect everyone else around there. You're living in your nifty little bubble and you got your nice little house with your picket fence out front and your kids go to a really good private school or whatever. It's going to come back on you, too. It's going to come back on your kids. Everything that we're talking about right here, when you break the food chain down, when you pollute the environment to the extent that nothing can grow, guess what? Eventually, even your fancy foods are going to go by the wayside. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly. Well, yes and no, because I think that those people have got themselves in a position where they will collect the good food.
Yeah, and, but see,
we're eventually going to get to a point. While they're trying to wipe out bees, and I was only discussing this with Dame Shannon like 2 days ago about the Monsanto deal, and who is it now? Bayer. Bayer's trying to sue someone some of Europe because they've banned a certain herbicide or something along those lines that they're using over there. I can't remember the exact story. I did read it, but basically, they're suing Europe for trying to save the bees for banning this product, because you know when you wipe out the reproductive system of your food chain, then what are you left with? Well, I picture one day getting a can of slop that's actually just got one word written on it. It says food.
It probably just says slop.
And you open it up and it's just some slimy muck that comes out that's got nutritional value. It's yum, yum. No, go and get stuffed.
Well, you know, it'll probably say slop right on the label. You know,
it probably will, yeah.
But the whole thing
Gray
is...
slop in a can, you know?
Back to the mainstream media and the problem at hand, these folks out here, you know, even if they got their own little food supply, eventually that's going to go by the wayside too, because no matter how hard they try, they're going to have some form of nature, and it's going to become a point where the dirt, no matter where they get the dirt, dirt be like the price of gold. If you can find some dirt, you can get something to grow in, you know? But it... You know, this isn't a problem that's happened overnight. Everybody blames the Industrial Revolution for, you know, the whole process, but it's the people out there. It's the average Joe, you know. You get a chemical, and, you know, if you're going to drain your antifreeze out of your car and flush it, don't just dump it on the dang ground, not to mention that, you know, if your animals drink that stuff, because the old... style antifreeze used to be kind of sweet. They made the newer style antifreeze bitter so animals wouldn't drink it, but if they do drink it, then guess what? They get whacked. And so if it's whacking your dog or your cat, then it's whacking the wildlife as well. And you whack the wildlife and suddenly you got predators with no food and they die off, and that's the food chain, and everybody's screwed.
Exactly.
You know, next thing you know, you got 1,000 million freaking ticks on your face because there ain't no birds around to eat them. it sounds crazy, but it's true. If you don't, like when we had last summer over here, we had a really bad tick problem going on because the winter was almost non-existent. I mean, it was a couple of winters back, though the winter wasn't very good. And so, you know, you got to have that really cold spell around here to kill off certain bugs, you know. And so it keeps the population down. So even by way of nature, kind of keeps things in balance, you know, by killing certain things off during the winter time so that they're not overpopulated. Well, if you have a really mild winter, then next season you're going to notice you got a whole lot more bugs bothering you than you normally did. And then from there, that's when you go to your local Walmart and you get your pesticides and you start spraying down your local environment with it to keep the skeeters off, when there's plants out there that will repel the skeeters, you know, just as well as this doggone chemical that you're doing. Yeah, or probably even better. Yeah.
Birds and cow poop or some horse poop.
Something. But it, yeah, it takes
a little... better than spraying chemicals everywhere. And that chemical, you know, just as we're discussing, those chemicals not only affect plants, but they go into the water table as well.
Yep. And, you know, come on, folks. All you got to do is a little bit of research. You got to really care about your health in order to be able to save your health. You know, a lot of folks, and I'm saying, or I see this all the time, especially, you think I'm kidding, go walk into your local Walmart or big old shopping center in the middle of the night and just look at the people. I mean, just look at them. They're sick. They got dark rings around their eyes. They're malnutrition. Some of them's overweight. You know, they're sick. They're not healthy. They between all the chemicals and all the junk food and lack of sleep and drugs and everything else like that, people are destroying themselves. And maybe there's some folks out here, you know, who just don't give a damn, because if you keep people sick long enough, you can make a buttload of money, you know. And so with that said, if I was a rotten bastard and I was at the top of a corporation and I needed to sell this specific drug, I sure as heck wouldn't want anybody to know the cure, so that, you know, put me out of business, because then what do I do with all these drugs? You see what I'm saying? Same thing with the oil. Yeah. Same thing with electricity. You know, if you don't, if there's a cleaner, more efficient, cheaper way that people can get electricity, you don't want them to know about it. And that's, I think, why we get under attack a lot when we talk about alternative energy. And we got so many debunkers. We got more debunkers that come in basically talking negative about our alternative energy ideas instead of them coming in and saying, look, I see this problem and you could fix this problem with that solution. All they're doing is coming in and trying to cut it down to make everybody think, well, it won't work. And people say, well, there is no such thing as free energy. Well, when's the last time you got a bill from the sun? All right? I ain't got one.
They try to say that the sun's not really that efficient of a source of energy that I want. I challenge them to turn off all the energy they're using to force the heat that the sun is pumping into the earth out of their house, and see how long it takes before that heat invades their house and pushes its way in there.
back to what you just said there, Shaz, and it kind of goes along with Colty's friend there, Dr. Gary there, but I was just currently had a little argument going back and forth over some posts here, everybody fed up with the Ontario hydro rates and that, and I got on there and I just made the simple comment, like, you know, guys, like, technically energy's flowing all around us and it's free. And this guy got on there, and I actually think he's a buddy with the guy that was giving Colty some slack, and he starts going, oh, no, so since when is it free? And after a couple of comments back and forth, you know, like, if we quit paying our bill, like Niagara Falls, for instance, it's going to stop flowing, or the wind's going to stop blowing, the sun's going to burn out just because we don't pay our bill, like, and then he said something else, and I took and said, well, as an individual, am I allowed to go, like, put solar panels all around my yard or put a windmill up there to draw some decent power to run the house? And I don't know about down there, but up here you got all that stuff. Like, they got government grants going on that you can get solar panels installed, but that doesn't power your house. That gets fed back into the grid, and then you buy it back off them, and ooh, big deal, at the end of the year you get a tax break on it. But it's just like, you know, if everybody were to throw them up, like, but then again, once you do something like that, you're going to have all these people knocking on your door saying, hey, you can't do that.
Well, you know,
yeah, where's our money? Why I said any kind of free energy device needs to be pushed underground through people who actually care about solving their problems, because if you run public with it, the government is going to see that you no longer have, you, the average Joe, don't have to pay X amount of money out of your check every month, and they're going to go, well, I guess we need to find a way to tax that and get that extra income, because they will not let you have excess income. They calculate all that very carefully to try to basically keep everybody just barely treading water constantly.
Well,
between them and the corporations that are nothing more than basically extensions of this violent, oppressive regime that we have over us, we call our governments. They basically raise prices there with their you know, garbage they're selling us, and the government raises taxes to absorb any excess income that you manage to save, any profit you made from spending your hard-earned effort in the form of energy that, you know, you would basically not have to buy now because you're making your own. They'll find a way to get that money then out of your pocket.
Well, I agree with everything you said, but here's the thing, you know, for those guys out there who think, you know, well, solar's not that efficient. Well, look at this example right here. It's the sun's up on half of this planet at half the day, every day. And so if you put solar panels on the side that's shining in, you put solar panels on the side that on the opposite side, when the sun comes up, you're going to get power 24/7. You know, no matter what, and you feed the power from one side of the planet over to the other side of the planet, and you just took and you put a big old fat chunk in the so-called carbon problem that you keep on complaining about. But the fact is, they don't want to do this, and the reality, you know, is as conspiratorial as it may sound, the reality is because of money. They don't want to do this because if they got a system over here and a system over there, once that system's paid off and nobody has to pay an electric bill anymore, they're out of the job, you know? And they wouldn't necessarily be out of a complete job. Somebody has to maintain them.
It's the same problem we have with roads that are built by tax dollars. Because there's nobody who cares more about, you know, something that they're going to use than the person who's actually going to use it, the most efficient way to get roads built would be the people who are actually wanting the roads to go out and build them. But no, we have these people who don't care about the road to go ahead and just tear up stuff and build these whatever you want to call it. Basically, they're crappily made roads, so that they're sure they'll break down again so they can make more money later on down the road, which gives the government more reason to just keep taxing us to death, you know? Well, and, you know, all of them are skimming some off the tops. That's why you end up with these road crews where not only are they making these garbage roads, but you've got five guys standing around supervising one guy doing the work.
Yeah.
If this was a truly capitalistic society where no gun was pointed at anyone's head, that wouldn't happen because those guys standing around watching the other guy work, the people who were paying for it to be done, would fire them all.
So what?
We would have the power to fire them.
So what's the solution for everybody out there? The solution to me is the average Joe
Bitcoin.
Stops asking for permission and
yes,
starts and firing the one who just, yeah, Bitcoins. Start firing the ones who... Start firing the ones who are standing around holding a shovel. Look, brother, if you ain't going to use that shovel, there's a guy over there that needs a job. I'm going to fire you and hire him.
Yeah. Well, and if we use Bitcoin and not dollars, we don't have to ask for permission to pay who we want with that money. We don't have to ask permission to have our money. We get to keep it.
We can get energy independent, but we're going to have to do it by ourselves because it's blatantly obvious
yes.
The ones in charge aren't going to do it. And, you know, so with that said, support your local mad science guy / alternative energy. Support them with whatever you can, you know, even if it's just a word of encouragement. You know, hey, I believe in you. Keep on going, you know, because it's guys and gals like us out here that are actually going to make a difference in the world, you know. You've seen the results of everything that the mainstream media has accomplished and the governments of the world have accomplished and the corporations of the world have accomplished. They haven't accomplished a damn thing except for making a hell of a mess that our children's grandchildren are going to have to clean up, you know, in order to just survive. I mean, think about, you know, this sounds kind of science fiction, but think about all the children of the world having to walk around with a freaking gas mask on because they've done polluted the fishbowl so bad that nature hasn't had a chance to clean it up yet. And we're heading that way. Go to Walmart and just walk in there and look at those people. See how sick they are. You know? We're doing this to each other because we're feeding the beast. Every time we go
yep.
out there and we do the things that we do, pay this and pay that without saying anything to our representatives, we're allowing them to literally kill us off. And even if it isn't some major conspiracy where they're trying to kill us off, you know, depopulate the world, it's out of sheer stupidity at the very least, because you have to look at whatever actions you do. What kind of repercussions is this going to have in the future if I do this specific thing? When they poured that Corexit in the doggone water, did they think about the jellyfish or any of the other wildlife or the plankton down inside there? I submit to you, no, they figured out. If there's a problem, we'll figure it out later because we got all these brilliant scientists out there.
And it's another problem to be solved, so there's more money to be skimmed.
Yeah, more money.
All these people that we have working for us, they're all... No, we want less corruption, and then to the side they're saying, or we want more chance to participate in it, you know?
And get rid of all that.
They're only for eliminating corruption whenever they're not getting a cut of it, you know?
Get rid of all the doggone...
Yeah. We need to put that atomic boot to everyone's butt and kick them all out.
This is going to piss somebody off, but get rid of all the dang unions out there, man, because what are they doing besides, trying to get more pay for whatever, you know? Get rid of them. Get rid of any kind of...
It's not necessary. If the work is needing to be done and people are willing to do it, then, you know, pay them what it's worth, you know?
Yeah, and if you ain't getting paid what you...
This is the thing, though. You can't just get rid of unions. You've got a government system that controls the money. And that's where the sickest part of the capitalism that we have is. That's what makes it capitalism.
Well,
they control everything by controlling the money.
The union idea from what it started to be to what it has become as essentially a lobbyist community for the government, what it started off to be was a good idea. You know, protect the worker. That was a good idea. But what it has become since is nothing more than a lobbyist group that goes and gets what they want and to hell with whoever else is outside that union.
Right.
You know, you pay that union dues to represent you. And so they got power, you know, because they got money. But what we need is the average Joe to start using some doggone common sense and do for yourself instead of asking somebody else to do for you. You see what I'm saying? Do for your children, at the very least. Clean your backyard, you know, help your children out in that way. At least your children got a clean environment
to
live in.
Get sufficient in something. Do something. Learn how to do something new today and become more self-empowered, because that is the primary reason why when you walk to Walmart, you see not just sick people, but all of those people there. All of those people are dependent on Walmart because they can't do any of the stuff that somebody somewhere is being paid in China to do and pumped into Walmart.
Yep, and
they are so hopelessly dependent upon the system that they will fight for the system that's destroying them.
And they will too. They will.
Yep.
They will cut their nose off to spite their face just for the luxury of having somebody else do for them what they could have done for themselves. There are so many different alternative cures out there that don't even see the light of day. There's so many different alternative natural foods out there that don't see the light of day. And it's only networks like these networks that we broadcast on and other networks that rebroadcast that even mention this stuff. And anybody from the outside who doesn't like what we're saying, who's on the teat of the government... we'll come in there and degrade every idea that you come up with when they ain't putting out any good ideas of themselves. Am I wrong?
You did on the money.
Mm-hmm. You know, we got to, you know, think about this. If you care about your own family, take care of your own family, take care of your own environment, and make this world a better place a little bit at a time. We can't do it overnight because it's been so jacked up. But if we don't,
here's a thing for you to look at to really consider why it's important to do things for yourself, like you were just talking about. Think about that button that you might need to put on a pair of pants or a shirt that you go to Walmart to pick up to fix your shirt so you can continue using it, right? You think about the energy that goes into making that. Okay, if you made that at home, how much energy does it take versus how much energy does it take not only to make it, but then to truck it all the way to from wherever it came from to wherever it's at?
Yeah, and there's billions of them.
All that oil and resources, yeah, it's just being wasted.
They're just laying around somewhere in some factory, you know, may never ever get used and end up in a scrap heap somewhere, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What a waste of material. What a waste of resources. You could have used that.
Well, and for something as simple as a button that you can just make yourself, it doesn't take much skill to do that. But anybody who starts doing that, something that simple, will then realize, hey, I'm not useless. I can actually learn how to do things. And then they'll learn more advanced things until eventually they're doing things that people who aren't, never took that first step, are looking at them going, man, how do you do that?
Well,
that's so crazy that you can do all that. It's like, it wouldn't be crazy to, if you followed the same path I did, it would look as simple to you as it is to me.
With that reset, with that said, it brings me into my next subject, repurposing. You know, I did a video here just yesterday of a smoker that I made. All right, well, I had some junk laying out in my yard, and I was gifted some metal grates and stuff like that, and I got all these separate deals, and I'm thinking, okay, what can I do with these deals? So I turn around, I took an old hot water heater and some old hinges, and I got my grinder with a cutting wheel out there, and I cut some doors in this thing and cut me out some grates and some stands for the dang. And I turn around and I took a couple old propane cans, which would have just went off in the dump somewhere, and, you know, nature would have had to get rid of it, whatever. Instead, you know, I cleaned them out, set them up, and I built a combination smokers slash wood gas fire, so you can not only smoke your steaks or your meat or whatever, you know, with some hickory wood or whatever, and at the same time, use some wood gas to create a little flame up at the top that you can actually cook your coffee on it as well. Now, I know that doesn't sound like it's all that big of a deal, but, you know, otherwise, this stuff...
self-sufficiency, that is a big deal, man.
Yeah, otherwise, this stuff would have ended up in the junk or still be laying around my yard. So, with the button idea that you were talking about, heck, look how much plastic's wasted. I mean, you could take some old plastic and create your own buttons, get you a little Dremel kit, you know, and drill the holes in it and cut your little circles out and make your own buttons. But there's so much stuff that is wasted in this world, it's just sickening, man. You go work for any company. I don't care what factory or what company or what product they're making. Go work for them, and while you're working for them, keep your eyes and ears wide open and watch that dumpster. Watch that dumpster fill up and see how many times a week they haul that dumpster off to the dump. That's going straight to the dump. It's not going to a recycling company.
Going to waste. That's energy that's gone to waste. You know, going back to that energy thing and the excess of it that we have, I really can't harp on this enough. It's not a matter of a lack of energy. It's a lack of cohesive, controlled, directional energy. So we just need a method of converting this chaotic energy that we're in the bottom of a giant well full of into an organized system of it. And the best way I can correlate that energy that's in our air and the vibrational energy that we have is the same way you look at a forest. A forest is an awful lot of energy out there, all that wood growing out of the ground, right? You set that wood all on fire set that forest on fire, you wouldn't be able to run very many Stirling engines off of that, would you? But if you chop it up into little pieces and put it down inside of a little controlled container to control that heat, taking the chaotic nature of that forest fire and organizing it into slow, continued, controlled, organized process to run through that Stirling engine to create that steam, suddenly you get this immense amount of torque and energy out of something that, you know, would have just gone to waste as a disorganized, chaotic, wasted event.
Yeah, and it's...
We just need to organize. We need a device that basically organizes things. Diodes and stuff like that are a good source to look at for learning how to do that.
Instead of putting a catalytic converter on your car to reburn waste fuel, figure out why that thing is wasting fuel to begin with. Instead of squirting it in there in a jet, put it in there to fine atomized mist and get the same results and probably even better, more amount of torque by using a tiny amount of this fuel as opposed to a massive amount of this fuel. You know, it can be done. I mean, go back into this conspiracy side of the deal. There was guys out there who designed carburetors that would give you a couple hundred miles to the gallon. I would, if I was a government official and I saw this, I would like, you know, okay, we got all this problem with fuel resources. Let's jump on this and let's make this mandatory that people get 200 miles to the gallon as opposed to 20 miles to the gallon. And save some doggone fuel. But, you know, they don't go that route. And there are so many different methods by which you could do this. It's just flat out ludicrous, but yet, you know, like once again, the people at the top, they don't give a damn. If they did, you know, as soon as you start getting 200 miles to the gallon, they get less taxes, they get less money in their pocket, and that's what it's all about.
Shaziz,
yeah,
it's time for a song break, my brother.
All right, well, let me see if I can find the correct song. I'm going to see if I can find one that pretty much says it all.
Sums up this.
Yeah. Do-do-do-do.
Well,
while I'm looking for that song, I'll put this other one on here for certain individual.
If I... I'm going to have to give you a better selection of stuff to work with.
Yeah, well,
that way you don't just have one to go to. There's a couple of them that are really good ones. So,
all right, well,
just while you're picking around for a song, we've got to give a special shout out to somebody today. To Dr. Gary Rutledge. We'd just like to let you know, sir, you need to go forth.
Rutledge, Gary Rutledge. What?
Yeah, that's right.
And if you're friends with some Mick Laporte, there, hello to you as well.
Yes. The president of the National Nuclear Security Agency, who came and flamed a couple of my posts during the week. So go forth and I'll play.
Yeah, have a good life and all that kind of stuff. These guys out here, man, I tell you, you know, don't sit around and piss and moan about the world being a mess if you ain't willing to pick up a broom. Seriously.
Exactly.
You know? You know, we talk about all kinds of things, not only here on the Mad Science Show, but the Knights of the Round Table, and, you know, we don't just say, you know, all the world's crap and not offer any solutions. We got a lot of common sense ideas that should, you know, be put into use. You know, you can clean your own backyard. Everyone can do that. You know,
we just need to pull a whole group of us together in one single location and form our own Atlantis.
Yeah,
once we have the solutions and we're ready to actually release them for the rest of the world, we can do what we want, you know.
I agree.
It in a manner where it basically will be the least destructive, because obviously if we shut down the system the way it runs right now, a lot of people will die. So it's got to be wound down. You don't just, you know, come to a sudden halt. If you stop a car the way a car stops when it hits a brick wall, the people inside turn into jello. So you gotta hit ease down on the brake and slow it down until it comes to a stop.
Well, I agree with you.
Then we can get out and get into the better vehicle, the better system. You know?
I agree with you 100%. But like I said, this is going to have to be a sneak attack to save humanity. We got to come up from the bottom, from the ground up, and we got to save the world ourselves, because there's nobody else going to get out there and pick up the trash. Ain't nobody else going to get out there and put electricity and food in your family's belly and that kind of stuff like that. You're going to have to do it yourself, and that's why these alternative energy ideas are worth taking a look at.
Exactly.
Just to be clear, it's not anybody else's job to put that food on your table and in your bellies. What it is not their job also, though, is it's not their job to come along and steal it out of your paycheck before you get it.
Yeah. Well, everybody, stay tuned for the last portion of the Mad Science Show. I'm going to put Molly Hatchet flirting with disaster on her, because that's exactly what we're doing. We are literally flirting with disaster. As long as we're going to leave the hopes of all humanity in the hands of, basically treasonous scientists / media personalities / government officials.
Thugs.
Yeah, thugs. They're not representing us. They're not representing us.
Psychopath thugs.
They're whacking us off, and they're whacking nature at the same time, you know. So with that said, Molly Hatchet flirting with disaster. Everybody stay tuned.
Yeah. read the Gazette to catch up on the news. Some classified adverts I chanced to peruse when I saw a category called steampunk. I turned to it eagerly but left in a funk, for I quite enjoy the steampunk aesthetic, but what I beheld there was rather pathetic. These intrepid online auctioneers have just taken modern objects and stuck on some gears. It's simply not cricket, it shouldn't be done, but it's clear how their thoughts had run. Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay. But it got even worse than that, I'm afraid, and as I went on I became more dismayed, for they often didn't modify the things they wanted me to buy. Heavens to Betsy, I'll end up on regressing. Steampunk is more than a mere mode of dress or decoration, so it brings me some distress to see a metal cicada described with that name, or a teacup, a mood ring, a silver gilt frame. Gluing on gears at least takes effort. This is sloth at the worst. Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay. Steampunk refers to a type of science fiction about alternate past, not future prediction, often set in Victorian Britain, but the history of technology has been rewritten. So put a bit of thought into your designs. Use leather and brass, 19th century lines. Retrofuturistic is a good explanation. Blend antique reality with imagination. But calling things steampunk to try to sound cool makes you look like a bloody fool. Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay. Gauges and rivets, copper tubing and glass lend a steampunk creation a real touch of class. Gears are appropriate to introduce if they look like they have a legitimate use. Although Nixie tubes are undeniably splendid, they date from long after the age of steam ended. Pity really, I just love Nixie tubes. Anyway, I hope you've comprehended. So use the word steampunk correctly, old chap, and don't use it to refer to crap. Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Shazia's Mad Science. We got a full house, and I think we had Ryan and somebody else join us in there. Who else is in there?
Dieden.
Welcome, guys. Awesome. You know, we all talk about when we do our shows and stuff like this. This isn't just a show or anything like that. It is kind of entertaining because we say a lot of funny stuff every now and then. You know, on the break, we were talking about ejection seats on toilets and bathtubs. Be a lot of uses in there. But you know, it's more than just a show. It's an information hub that you can actually come to and get some sort of ideas for, you know, problems around your own local neighborhood, you know, like wood gasifiers and Stirling engines and, you know, Tesla coils and all the different stuff that we talk about on our Mad Science show. But what it all boils down to at the end of the day is if you don't get out there and do the research, if you don't at least try the experiments or whatever, you know, you're essentially just listening. You know, you're not really participating.
It's being an armchair activist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, we do get out there and talk, but we also get out there and do the walk as well. So, you know, with that said, you know, anybody got any other ideas as far as, you know, like I did this video where the wood gasifier slash smoker, you know, it's a two-in-one idea. You know, get two deals cooked out of one, you know, actually two separate processes. But you see what I'm saying? There's so many different things. We could come up with ideas all day long. We just need to build it, you know. It'd be a good YouTube channel to have an ejection seat on the toilet.
Collaboration. We need collaboration.
Yeah, there you go.
No one person can move the world, but, you know, as the saying goes, many hands make light of a heavy load.
Yeah, and, you know, you put it...
Make log work.
It's... You know, I got something going on right now. You know, we did the pop boat contest, which kind of flopped as far as participation because, and I don't understand what the whole deal was, because I got enough subscribers on my YouTube, and so does Cultus, that somebody should have put an entry in there. But either way,
you know what the biggest problem probably is?
What's that?
Remember what I said about so many people are consumers, and they've been led down a path where they're just not used to being producers, so there weren't enough people that felt confident enough in their own skill set to even try.
Well either
you need to start small and build up, you know.
Well, the prices of things to build with too are outrageous, just like the food that's good for you and everything else.
It's only outrageous if you can't build the stuff yourself. Again, that comes down to the confidence. Do you have the confidence to make a tool, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, either way,
I make things that cost like a few dollars all the time that if you look online, the closest thing you can find to what I've made will cost you several hundred to several thousand dollars for a small one.
And 80 to 90% of my lab is all recycled stuff, things that people were going to throw away anyway. So, you know, that's the why I do the way I do it. But either way, I didn't give up on the whole pop boat deal because I'm still working on the. I told everybody that I was going to do a full size version to prove that it can be done. And so with that said, I got a company that's in Arkansas, I think it's Arkansas, it might be, I can't remember, I'll have to look at the paper again.
The home of the robo...
Tulsa, no, it's Oklahoma, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Anyway,
you've got someone who can go down and keep an eye on the production of that, because I know that one of the people here right now, even the one who just went,
Oh, cool. Well, then maybe I can get your help on the deal. We'll talk about it later. But anyway, there's a company down there that does special coils for tubing. They bend coils from an inch and on up, you know, and different materials. And so I need a custom coil made, and I'm waiting on a quote from this custom coil. Now, depending on, because this is going to be a prototype, it's probably going to cost me more than it would have if I would have, you know, say, been able to order a whole bunch of them. But I'm starting off with a steel prototype because that'll be the cheapest route, but eventually I need to go to stainless steel. But I want to prove that this can be done, and I've actually got a really unique boat that I'm going to put this in. This boat was made out of a couple car hoods, and I think they, if I'm not mistaken, they were like 43 Buicks or something like that. A big old kind of cone, not cone shape, but it looks like a canoe. It looks like a big old fat canoe. But these two car hoods from the old days were welded together by my father-in-law and his son, and they made a boat out of it. And I'm going to take this coil that I'm having custom built and build a full-size pop-pop boat and get that thing to work. And so with that said, you know, depending on the price, will depend on how long it takes me to actually get it, because I'm going to need that coil. Don't everybody jump to the microphone at once. I wouldn't want nobody cheating.
Yeah, I'm confused. Like, what are you built? What are you trying to build?
Have you ever seen my video, the pop pop boat?
No, sir. I have not. I need to watch it then.
Yeah, go watch that. It's a little. It's
a
little.
You're talking about wanting to build something. Let's build it. Yeah, I don't know. Hey, send me a plan.
It's a little toy from the old days. It's essentially a little steamboat that has a little diaphragm steam boiler in it, and it got two pipes that go out. And what happens is you put a candle underneath there. First, you put a little bit of water in there. You prime it with a little bit of water and then stick it down in the water, and then you put a little candle under there, and it heats that water up until it boils into steam. The steam pressure forcing out one side causes the water to suck in through the other side and keeps it fed with water. And so with that said, I told everybody that I believe this could actually be scaled up to a full-size version. And of course, there's folks that said, well, the math doesn't add up. You wouldn't be able to scale it up. But I did make a larger version in my second pop-pop video. And the boat, even though it moved slow, it was moving under its own power. and it only had two coils in there. What I'm talking about doing is making a two-foot long with 14-inch in diameter coils, multiple coils in there that I can put primers at the top, and you can pour the water in at the top and then cap it off like a radiator, and then putting a fuel source underneath that will actually run this doggone boat. And when it gets
like a little propane burner or something, or a propane burner, or something that's running off. Yeah, huh, okay. So, I see, it's almost the same principle as what's, you know, powering a jet ski, basically sucking water in, blowing it out the other, but you're, doing it a whole different way.
Yeah, doing it with steam. But if this thing works like I believe it will, then essentially you will have a solid-state boat motor that has no moving parts in it. And the significance of it would be great, because there's a lot of countries out there like... Our friend Mark Dancy, he was talking about over there, I think in the Philippines, whenever they have a boat motor break down, it's almost impossible to get parts, because they're working mostly with a lot of rare engines that they were lucky to get a hold of, and finding parts for them over there is like next to impossible. So if we could design this deal and actually get it to work, then you could be able to build these boats that wouldn't take anything but, you know, maybe some firewood to run them, you know, and not have to worry about ever breaking down. If it was made with stainless steel, then, you know, you wouldn't have to worry about it rusting through like you would with normal steel. And there's just a whole lot of potential with it.
Huh. Yeah, I can see it.
So, I hopefully I'll have the funds necessary to get the coil made, and I'll get this thing done within the next month, and I'll actually be riding around in my pond with it and show people that it does work, and I'm looking forward to that.
Wow. So, well, I was just thinking about, because I have a pond too.
Well,
I've been trying to figure out how to use that in some way, you know.
The good thing
we were talking about lighting a coil up. I was going to ask you guys this. I thought about putting a coil, you know, not in the pond. Well, yeah, one of them, but making two and basically lighting it up on the edge of the pond, and then floating the other one out in the pond and dropping one end of it down into the actual pond. And then put a light out there, you know, a tube with it, and see when I turn it on, does it work? Something to do with the pond, and, you know, is the water ground too? This is something I just want to ask everybody, you know, like when I stick, an RF ground for my coils, and, you know, I stick it in the ground, well, is the water going to react the same way, or is it just, it's probably not, and I know I sound like an idiot, but...
The water is a ground. And
okay, so it almost could be a big antenna, a moving, weird, like... floating.
If you're trying to transmit through the earth, like we've been discussing, what Tesla did. He dug down, like when they were building Wardenclyffe.
Yeah,
those earth rods went so far down to the ground that they interacted with the aquifer that's down
there.
Yeah,
so, the groundwater.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
All right, well.
It's like an earth capacitor.
Exactly.
That's what, yeah, well, yeah. Oh, I also heard, I had a buddy, he's a contractor. The state had bought a piece of land or something for a road, and he went over there and to get the temporary pole that was set up. You know, they never really built anything, but they had a tent pole. It was disconnected and everything. Like, he went to go and disconnect it and whatever, and he told me he got a little shock, and I had to explain to him that was probably the ground. The earth gave him a little shock. Let him know that let him know that the earth was still there, you know. But he couldn't explain it. It threw him all off. And last night I had to just explain. Well, what I think, buddy, is the ground got you. Because if it wasn't hooked to anything, and there's nothing in there at all except fuses, and you know, there's nothing in there really that's going to hold a charge except for the wire that's sticking out of the ground that's been sitting in the ground for years. So. Yeah, I've never heard anybody getting shocked pulling a ground out before.
Well,
it'll happen.
While I'm thinking about it, Thomas got a really good idea about, I think he called it cohesive or whatever, something like that. What was it again, Thomas? You still there?
I'm not sure which
part. Well, when you talk about bringing people together, when you're talking about getting together.
A cohesive effort, man.
Yeah.
So basically, we're basically taking all this random chaotic energy of all these various different people going off in different directions and fine-tuning it all to go the same direction so we can get some real push. That's essentially what happens, you know, whenever you have like a light blustery day where wind's blowing all different directions versus a tornado or a hurricane coming through and moving houses, you know.
Well, see, cultists...
So we can get some real work done if we get together and really focus our efforts.
Cultists recently went to the Geek Group, and as I was looking at that, that's a fascinating deal. Maybe we need to put us together something similar to the Geek Group.
I'll actually talk to you about that after the show, probably when I come down on the weekend.
Cool.
We maybe sit around and discuss this.
Hey, cultists, doesn't this conversation sound like what we were talking about?
Chewing this over for a long time, but it's been rebirthed, and I know where there's a good deal of land. We just might need to pull some money together and put a nice big shed on it, and put something together. I don't want to go into too much detail because I want a few of us to get together. Because it looks like I certainly have to go back to Australia at the moment, at least for a small amount of time. But I'll be coming back very shortly. And I'll spend some time up there in Missouri with Shaziz. Now, if a few of us can get together, sit around and nut this thing out properly, I think it's quite possible that we can obtain funding to put together our own geek group, because as you and I have discussed before, Ryan, that there is a lot of followers for the geek group, but because of their cockiness, there's a lot of people who, well, for lack of a better terminology, hate their damn guts.
Well, it's a turnoff. Uh-huh. What it is
it is.
It's a,
yeah,
it's a corporate, and then you go to their site.
Get on a pedestal. It's a lot.
Yeah, the best way to explain it is they think and they are to their own right, but they are elitist jerks.
Well, if
you
keep the same
guys, you can go on their website, and if you look at their corporate sponsorship, you know, the ones that stuck out to me were, you know, pretty big companies, Briggs and Stratton, Rust-Oleum. I mean, he is no longer, you know, he is affiliated with what we talk about and what we find to be negative most of the time.
Well, if
I can't say that they don't like try to help humanity, because I firsthand,
they do.
Watch stuff go down that certainly back up that they're there to help. But their elitist jerk attitude ruins it for most people. Like the girls when they went in there, Shannon and her daughter, when we went up there, they wanted to go and talk to one of the people in there about photography. And this person was having a bad day and basically just snubbed them off.
Well,
yeah,
if we
that,
can't...
That was it. They wouldn't come back the next day. They would not come back the next day.
If we keep the...
Impressions. First impressions.
Exactly.
Guys,
exactly.
If we keep the same mindset that we do here on Mad Science and the Knights of the Round Table, if we keep that same mindset and for all new members coming in afterwards, then I think we could actually make it a success and actually get some things accomplished.
Yeah.
You know, like this...
Should I plug something?
Go ahead.
Should I plug something?
You can if you like, mate.
Yeah, the Extinction Research Facility?
Oh, well...
The game plan for setting up a successful research facility that's self-supporting and doesn't have to get elitist about it or corporate sponsorship, I've got most of it laid out.
Yeah.
And well, it can be used
anywhere. You're one of the people I want to drag up to Missouri for a week and sit around and discuss this.
That would be great. And I got land, so we don't have to buy no land.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I've got. Remember how I kept talking about log cabins? I've got a lot of plans. But we've got to sit down and nut this out before we make it overly public,
yeah.
So that you know we know what we're talking about and we've got a battle plan. But I'm pretty sure that we can pull off a facility whereby people can come and stay.
That'd be great.
And do the research, and you know,
that would be a dream come true. I'm telling you,
that's all I've been doing. Guys, all I've been doing for 2 months now is trying to just find everybody. All I've been doing is trying to connect and find everybody that thinks the way we think and obsesses about the things we obsess about. And, you know, so far, so far, so good. It's pretty amazing what's going on.
On this particular project, Ryan, what I need you to do is, as you meet all these random people, right, start a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Get them here.
Name and their abilities. Yeah. What they can do. If they're a programmer, if they're
whatever their
trade is, whatever their skill is, not necessarily their trade because that kind of refers to their immediate job, but what their skill sets are.
Yeah.
We need to start correlating who we've got on board.
Most important.
We need a certain job done. We can go straight to that person and say, hey, look, you know, this is what we're doing, or you probably know what we're doing at the moment. Will you give us a hand and do this?
Most important.
Like one of my rants I had on YouTube, it was like, you know, I don't know if it's still on there, and maybe it's an older one, about, you know, I'm going to find the laser guys, the astronomers, the Tesla coil builders, the machinists, every single one of them that when they work their job, like Coltis just said, you know, yeah, they work a job, that may be their profession, but I want what they're doing when they're, you know, all day when they're working, they're thinking about something totally else, and then when they get home, they go straight to the garage or straight to the
garage
and start working
or
on
when
it.
When
until
they get up in the morning, they go and work on that while they're munching on a sandwich, getting ready.
I agree, guys, but most important above all that is get them here to the table. Get them here to have the conversations that we're having.
The CNC mill that I have sitting over here now, that's essentially how it came into being. Literally working in between on lunch breaks, and whenever I came home, I'd work on it until I got tired and went to sleep. And when I woke up the next day, I'd work on it, and that's, you know, it's just how it came to be, you know.
Yeah, nothing I'd be doing right now would not be being done if there wasn't people like you guys that put YouTube videos on there and show people what's going on. And I, you know, this is one of my big pet peeves about, you know, when I first started doing Tesla coils. You start binging and Googling schematics and all kinds of stuff and watching YouTube videos. And, you know, I'd say more than half of it is bullshit.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like misinformation, my language, but it really is. And it's almost as if some people are purposely trying to blow your power source up or fry your capacitors or... you know, they don't want you to figure it out for some reason. That's something I can't understand. The only way I can understand that are these are the people that are making money off of Tesla coils, selling them. You know, and yeah, I put mine on eBay, but mine don't cost like mine don't cost $400 to $3,000. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
These guys are making. You know, and this week I've had a little, you know, or last week, you know, I had a little problem from a few of them that, you know, don't like the fact that I sell things as cheap as I sell them on eBay.
That's their problem.
Well, yeah. That, and also,
I could give them away if I had enough money to give them away. You know, there's a transformer right here with D's name on it. And I got an address, and it's being shipped out west.
When you talk,
you know, and this is what I do. If I could, like I said, if I could just somehow get a Tesla coil at every school in America or every, this is kind of what started the whole Abrams Lab thing, you know. And then the artists, this is something everybody needs to realize too. We're all artists because we're scientists. The art community supports what we do, you know, the visual art community, you know, photographers, painters, that's half of what I am, period. You know, but these guys, you know, I'm like a hybrid between the artists and the scientists, you know, whatever. But these guys the support I get from these guys is amazing. I'll never get a negative comment.
We're running out of time, guys. So let me get this last point in. When you talked about doing the research out there on YouTube, one of the problems that I found whenever I first started doing some research into Tesla coils was you would get these guys, kind of like what Cultus was talking about with the geek group, who, you know, they look down on you like you was some newbie kind of idiot instead of trying to share that information, you know, freely with you and help you advance in what you're researching. You know, they wanted to be jerks about it. Well, that's not what we're about here, and so if we keep that mindset, we'll be just fine. So with that said, we're down to the last 7 minutes of the show, and I want to give everybody a chance to have their last say real quick and put your YouTube out there so people can come out there and subscribe to your YouTube and see the research you're working on, benefiting everybody. So who wants to go first there?
We'll start from the right-hand side today. So, Apes, you got 30 seconds, bro. Go.
Me? Oh, yeah. Guys, if you want to see some cool stuff, I mean, half the time it's just me screw it off and just playing around, and then the other half, maybe here and there you'll see something that's cool, or I'm doing something that, you know, whatever. But it's Abrams Lab on YouTube, and the Google Plus is Abrams Lab Tesla Art, and that's pretty much
and I want to plug his 10-foot garden deal, because I'm really fascinated with that. I like that, and I can't wait to see how your results come up out of there.
Well, that's a garden / cult. Maybe we'll talk about this one day, but I have a dream of getting real close to a lightning bolt. So that could be garden / ferreting cage right there.
Yeah,
but,
cool.
I just want to thank everybody I've talked to this week and all the new people and Jay Price and Dee. And like I said, I always want to bring up Terry. Tomorrow, Terry will be, we will definitely, hopefully, try to get him tomorrow morning on this. I really want you guys to talk to the. I was,
all right, who's
he's
next?
Got a lot to say, I think.
Cool.
To
be honest, so. Thomas, go.
Okay, two links. I've got www.borgsteamfactory.com. That's pretty much self-explanatory, but I mean, I, you know, make tools and build things for people and whatnot there. The other is www.voxelblock.com. That's voxelblock.com/page2, all one word, just page with the number 2 behind it, .html. That will give you the lowdown on basically all the information on setting up a local research facility where you can gather all the people in your community to work together on things. So that I have compiled so far, and as I compile more, it'll go into that pool. So
that's a great plan.
Well, I don't really have a YouTube set up. I've really only been doing hard research for the last 6-7 months. You guys are actually slowly building my confidence up. Once I get a card for the camera there that I can get more than 30 seconds worth of video on there, I'll most definitely be getting some stuff up there for you guys and trying to do my part for the community, give back to you guys.
Well, it's for all of us. It's for yourself as well and your local community, because as far as I'm concerned, we're all a family, you know, and we just need to go with that thought.
Well, let me tell you something. I've been
breathing the same air. And we're all part of the same, same water ecosystem. So, you know,
I've been down in the dumps, had a lot of people, you know, run me into the ground, which I'm sure you guys all know where I'm coming from there, and just, you know, talk you guys over the last little while. Like, I don't know how to explain my gratitude that I have for you guys and the work that you do, and like I said, you're slowly raising up my confidence with stuff, so.
Well, the feeling's mutual, brother.
Hey, they did the same with me, man. Every day it's the same thing. It just gets better, and you deal with things, and you'll get people saying stuff, and, I try not to focus on the negative. I'll get 20 positive comments in a day, and for some reason I'll get one, and I just want to think about that. So,
cool.
Mitko, do you want to say your goodbyes, my friend?
Yeah, just keep researching, keep thinking, and always be curious.
Amen, awesome. Brother.
Got it.
But follow the path that you're talking about. My YouTube is...
Come closer to the mic!
Is that better?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little better. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
My YouTube is... my name, D-I-A-D-O-N-A-C-S. You just look that up on YouTube. But, blessings to everybody. I hope everyone has a wonderful week or a wonderful weekend. Thank you.
All right. Dublin.
Yeah,
go once.
Lost Dublin.
Going twice.
And if you guys go our YouTube site, prepare to have your brain melted a little. So
just
anyway.
A little. New World Order Remedy has not said a word for the entire show, but we'll throw his YouTube out there anyhow, which is youtube.com/thenworemity, R-H-E-M-I-T-Y. Good Australian bloke there.
Yeah, and he's studying alternative law, so that's another beneficial.
And then there's me, the mighty Cultus Negrand. So you can find me at cultus.weebly.com. That's cultus.weebly.com, and you'll find my all my research over there with the atmospheric motor and Ed Gray's power tube and Slayer exciters and Tesla coils and you name it, I'm dabbling in it all. So pop over and check that out. And I'll take this opportunity real quick just to thank everyone who's been involved in my GoFundMe project, because there's been a lot of response there and a lot of help, and just overwhelming, absolutely overwhelming. I never realised how much of an effect I had on other people's lives until this all got put together for me and all the people who have come forward to try and help and get the word out and spread the word and try and get some help to stay here in the US. So thank you all very much. I love you all. You've all done an awesome job. So with that said, back to you, Shaziz.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to Shaziz Mad Science. Stay tuned for the Hope Show with Beverly coming up next. And do join us on the Knights of the Round Table tomorrow. Hopefully, we'll have a couple extra people in there tomorrow, because I've been talking behind the scenes to some folks and inviting in anybody and everybody to come to the table. That's your chance to say your piece to the world. And so with that said, you can find Shaziz, just Google Shaziz, I'm all over the freaking globe, I'm on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and if I can help you out in any way, contact me on Skype if you need some help or whatever. And so with that said, I'm going to play us out of here with a cool, uplifting, funny tune, and peace and love to everybody, take care.
I said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln. Have you heard the story of the hot rod race when the Fords and the Lincolns were setting the pace? That story's true, I'm here to say, 'cause I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor and it's really souped up, and that Model A body makes it look like a pup. It's got 8 cylinders and used them all. Got overdrive, just won't stall. With 4 bow carbs and a dual exhaust and 411 gears, you can really get lost. Got safety tubes, but I ain't scared. The brakes are good and tires fast. Pulled out of San Pedro late one night, the moon and the stars were shining bright. We was driving up old Grapevine Hill, passing cars like they were standing still. All of a sudden, in a wink of an eye, a Cadillac sedan passed us by. I said, boys, that's a mark for me. By then, the taillight was all you could see. Now the fellas all ribbed me for being behind, so I thought I'd make that Lincoln unwind. Took my foot off the gas, and man alive, I shoved it on down into overdrive. Well, I wound it up to 110. My speedometer said that I'd hit top end. My foot was glued like lead to the floor. That's all there is, there ain't no more. Now the boys all thought that I'd lost my sense, and them telephone poles looked like a picket fence. They said, slow down, I see spots. The lines on the road just look like dots. We took a corner, sideswiped the truck, and I crossed my fingers just for luck. My fenders was clicking the guardrail post, and the guy beside me was white as a ghost. Smoke was coming from out of the back when I started to gain on a Cadillac. I knew I could catch him and I thought I could pass. Don't you know by then we'd be low on gas. I had flames coming from out of the side. You can feel the tension, man, what a ride. I said, look out, boys, I got a license to fly. And that caddy pulled over and let us by. Now all of a sudden she started a knocking. Down in the dip she started a rocking. I looked in the mirror, red light was blinking. The cops was after my hot rod Lincoln. Well, they arrested me and they put me in jail, and they called my pappy to throw my bail. And he said, son, you're gonna drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.